Welcome to the AMATS CIC for January. I'm Curtis Baker, the director of AMATS. With me is Matt Stewart, our planning administrator, as well as Heather Riedel, who is our planner four with AMATS. We just have a pretty brief agenda. Bill Seepy is coming into the meeting.
It's a balanced meeting.
Danny's trying to come back in. Let's see if we can get him back in too. All right. Hey, Danny.
Hey, now we can see you and you're moving. You're not frozen on screen.
Can you hear us? Okay. No, you're good. You're good. All right. And welcome, Bill, as well. We're just getting underway. Didn't want to remind everyone that the meeting's recorded. Or is being recorded, so we have it to write our minutes. Not a ton of stuff on the agenda today, but did want to go through it, and then maybe, you know, and then we'll open it up as usual for an open discussion. First on the agenda was Heather was just going to talk a little bit about our work program for fiscal year 2024. So Heather, take it away.
All right. So we are taking to tech and policy a draft, basically some draft numbers and our local share spreadsheet. Sorry, let me grab this real quick. Just kind of giving them an idea of what we're going to be doing for or putting into this upcoming work program, which will start July 1st of 23 and go through June 30th of 2024. So we just went over the numbers real quick with TAC today. Policy will see it next week. And then after that, I submit a draft work program to ODOT come March 3rd or 4th. Sorry, I'm hearing rain, I think. I am. The weather must be picking up here. So anyways, for those of you who don't know, our work program kind of lays out the work that the AMATS staff will do within the year. So we submit the draft come March, ODOT and FHWA might come back with some comments that we'll make some updates. And then come the beginning of May, we submit our final work program. And like I said, that will lay out what work we do for the year. So that's in the mail out. I don't know if any of you were interested in it or took a look.
Heather, would you want to maybe mention just a couple of like the main key products that?
Sure. So let's see. We are we're going to be updating our TIP that will be completed before the next work program. So that's coming up in the next few months. So come July 1st, when our new work program starts taking place, we will work on maintaining that TIP. There will be amendments and whatnot going on.
And sorry to interrupt, but I know just for the, like the TIP is called our Transportation Improvement Program. And what that is it's a four-year listing of all projects in the greater Akron area that use federal transportation dollars. So every 2 years to 3 years, we update this document so that it is the document that ensures that federal money can be spent in our region on the projects that we outline. Trying to be cognizant of the acronyms.
I apologize. So that's coming up. We'll be working on our congestion management process updates. We direct our air quality and GoHio Commute programs, which if you're not familiar, GoHio Commute is our rideshare website. We are in partnership with the agencies, many agencies across the state to administer that. So we'll continue working on that. We've got trying to look for something kind of out of the ordinary. We've been working on finding a way to redesign our AMATS website. We are hoping that this is the year that we're gonna actually get that done. We've just kind of had some things slow us down. So hopefully the redesign of the website, implementation of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act or the BIL, BIL stands for Bipartisan Infrastructure. Nope, help me.
Yeah, no, you're good. Bipartisan infrastructure law.
There it is. Yep. The new infrastructure. So public participation activities, continuing our pavement condition data collection and analysis program that will be continuing going on. Lots of traffic counting. I think that's kind of the gist.
What about the active transportation plan?
Yes, or I don't have that. No, that will be coming up.
Will that, I assume that'll span both the year we're in and like continue into like the year you're preparing for, right?
Yes. So we should be starting work on that in our current work program.
Yeah.
And then hopefully get it approved in the next, in the fiscal year 2024 work program. Danny, you have a question?
This is just like a general breakdown, isn't it? I mean, most of the things are like tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands, with maybe only the newsletter being very specific with 96672.
You're talking about the dollar amounts, aren't you? So a lot of these numbers, these are our current budget numbers. They are all estimates. And that 96672 is a balancing number. So we don't tend to, we use the newsletter as a way to balance all of our numbers, but in general, they're all kind of a guesstimate at this point because we haven't finalized the year end, if that makes sense.
What do you mean by a balancing number? You have a total that you're working off of and that just kind of makes up the difference?
Yes. So if you look at that table number three, there's a, we get consolidated planning grant dollars. That's what we're trying to tie to. So we get consolidated planning grant numbers and we have to have a local match and an ODOT match. And so that is what we're trying to tie the rest of our budget to, if that makes sense. Are there any other questions?
Great. All right. Well, thank you, Heather. Next thing we were going to talk about was the performance measures that we need to approve. As part of the federal transportation regulations, AMATS is required to do performance measures for safety. And our two options are to set our own performance measures for safety, or it's to support whatever ODOT's safety measures are in terms of basically to judge the value of the performance of the projects that are being constructed. So there are five safety categories that we have to set targets for and hopefully be under those targets. And those targets include fatalities, serious injuries, the fatality rate, the serious injury rate, and the number of non-motorized fatalities and non-motorized serious injuries. And so every year we look back at the previous year to see if we were able to meet that safety target for what was set. And so what the state has done is they've set a goal of trying to reduce all of those five categories by 2% across the board. And as you may know or remember, we've talked before, like 2021 was a horrible year for fatalities. They just increased quite a bit in our region, but also just in general in the nation and in the state. And then it looks like while the numbers haven't been finalized, it does look like the 22 numbers have come down a little bit, which is positive. And so what AMATS is doing is it's supporting ODOT's recommendation of a baseline performance target for 2% reduction for all of those categories. So the positive thing is it looks like we're trending in the right direction. And the way that what happens is that those numbers go to the Federal Highway. Federal Highway reviews the data and then lets Ohio know if it met its benchmarks or if it did not meet its benchmarks, and if they felt like, you know, we were putting enough money into those programs. So typically the state of Ohio has a very robust traffic safety program. A lot of funding comes from the state to fund safety projects. And so typically, like, we are a very good example of prioritizing safety funds in the state. Otherwise, though, I think, you know, it's for AMATS, it makes sense for us to say we're supporting the goal of ODOT, and that means that when we're assigning projects, we are when we assign projects, we are assigning those with safety in mind and trying to emphasize safety. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions. All right, hearing none, to dovetail into or dovetail from safety, as I know we've talked about in our last meeting, Safe Streets for All, Matt can give us a little bit of insight. We did have a survey running for the last month or so, and we thought Matt could give an update on the Safe Streets for All survey results and where we are on that. So take it away, Matt.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So I mentioned last month that we had the survey open that just closed at the end of last week. And what we ended up with are 301 survey results. And in addition to that, 130 map responses. So if any of you took the survey, we kept it pretty brief, but we asked a series of questions, and that was kind of what I consider the main part of the survey. But then there was also an opportunity to kind of basically drop a pin on a map on the screen to say, you know, you have an issue here and this is what it is. So we had 130 of those. So we started digging into, you know, what these survey results mean and where we're going to head with them. So just wanted to share a couple of just kind of broad general highlights or things that stood out to us as we were going through. But one of them was, what really struck me was we had a question, basically, I don't remember the exact wording, but it was along the lines of, you know, what do you feel are the most important ways to improve safety, or what should we be prioritizing? And very loudly and clearly, it was all about expanding the active transportation networks. And kind of adding on to that, what was dead last in our list of, I think it was about a dozen things, was, you know, expanding the roadway network, like building capacity, building lanes and stuff. And that was just really striking to me, because I have to imagine that if these questions were asked even 15 years ago, we'd probably have very different answers. And there just throughout the whole survey, as we were looking through the results, we just kept seeing it reinforced that, like, people want to see continued investment in building up the active transportation network, particularly the bike network. Now, you know, I'll be the first to admit, like, you know, it's possible that our survey results may not be truly representative of the overall population, but the fact that we have 301 surveys, I think, gives us a pretty good leg to stand on, saying, you know, this, you know, this isn't just a few, this isn't just our, you know, our committee members or staff filling out this survey. It's a much larger group. So I'm trying to think if there was any, one of the other highlights, you know, we had a pretty broad base of different, we asked people what their zip code, where they live, you know, and it was quite a broad, I think we had over 40 different unique zip codes respond to the survey. So it wasn't all Akron or Cuyahoga Falls or Kent or whatever. It was throughout the region. We were able to start looking at, you know, some of the top response areas. It was just very interesting overall. And, you know, maybe by the time we meet next time, I'll be able to, you know, dig down a little bit more and tell you some of the interesting things from it and where we're headed with the action plan that we're doing. So any questions about the survey or just about the Safe Streets for All project in general?
Yeah, I think we're pretty pleased with the results, as Matt said, and you know, we're looking forward to continuing to push that data forward. So, you know, I'm excited about it. I think we've got some pretty good feedback. So, and I thought the questions were well worded, and it seems like Matt said, we got a lot of a pretty good strafe of the region. So I think the project itself is coming together very well. Last thing I wanted to mention before we just open it up was that, you know, AMETS is also working on a EV charging station plan at this point. One of the things that we're really looking at is talking to our local communities about their experiences with EV charging. And as you can imagine, like, there is some really interesting debate out there about, is this going to be something that's driven by the private sector or something driven by the public sector? Talking to the kind of have a couple of different approaches that we've seen communities use, Fairlawn being a good example of a community that actually in their zoning code is requiring, you know, if there's changes to parking lots or changes to new developments, that they must include, based on the number of parking spots, the private company must include a certain number of EV charging stations. We've had other communities go after public public grants, and you know, some have found found them to become almost like albatrosses, where they continue to cost money, but the usage isn't enough to you know, in order to make money on them or to even break even, they'd have to raise their electric rate for the charging station astronomically, which then wouldn't be competitive. And then we've seen others that are sitting on grants that are paying for the first 5 years of licensing and all that. But it's really been an interesting process to look into, because what we're seeing is that, you know, I think there is some concern that some of the public stuff where you can put these EV charging stations and these low level two ones may not be the places that are going to get the most usage. And then, you know, a lot of the EV charging stuff does have a lifetime or does have a set lifetime. And so after 4 or 5 years, communities are finding that their boxes are obsolete or they need to replace technology, and the costs continue to go up without kind of the usage following. So it's definitely an interesting issue in Northeast Ohio, where we're probably a little behind, well, a lot behind on the adoption rate relative to, you know, our friends on the West Coast, et cetera. But it is something that we're continuing to look at, and I'm hoping that we'll have like a draft report for our committees at our next meeting in March. Any questions about that? All right. Well, then I guess we leave to the open discussion portion of the meeting. If anyone has any comments or questions, definitely open to them. All right.
Hey, Curtis.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good.
So I thought Ron was going to be on the call tonight to save me from talking, because since he went to Metro RTA, but I'm sure you're still, you know, in tune with what's been going on with our project.
Yeah.
And I did not get a chance to listen to the entire audio recording that he made of yesterday's planning, marketing, and rail meeting. But I guess the biggest thing that I took away from it was that Metro has to have that right away assessed.
Yeah, appraised. Yeah,
it has to be appraised. And one of the committee members asked if it's going to get done in 2023, and Valerie's response was probably not. Which I just why am I not surprised at the movement? It's like glacier speed. But anyway, it is what it is. We're continuing to stay tuned with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, task force is looking at and getting involved with other projects right now, because we're not getting anywhere. So it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a challenging. I actually talked to Valerie a little bit earlier this month and got a sense of where things are, you know, and it does sound like, yeah, it's just it. I mean, it's whenever we include our friends at the federal level, things slow down drastically. And so we were talking last time I talked to her, talking about the opportunities that, you know, we need to sort of things we want to find out more about. Like, I think we had even talked at the last CIC, because I am curious if First Energy would qualify, you know, if they tried to do a public notice of register to give the property away. Does First Energy qualify or as a public utility, or are they considered, you know, and is someone like them, would, if they swooped in, would that almost solve some of the other problems or other concerns about piecemealing it, or, you know, having Hudson own their piece and Stowe own theirs, or have the county do the whole thing? So it's going to be a slow walk getting every entity kind of in line and agreed to on how this is going to move forward. But, you know, what we're doing now from our funding perspective is looking at, okay, like, we know these projects might take a little while, so how do we backfill funding with other projects you know, if this slips out another year, then how do we make sure we don't, you know, end up sitting there holding $700,000? So, and I think the one thing I will say, you know, is that these types of projects, I think, are, I mean, it seems strange, but it's like they're so much harder to develop than, you know, building, you know, a new Route 8 bridge over the valley. Like, it's just, there's all this extra stuff that makes it challenging. And I think I've said this before, if it was easy, it would be done already. So we just got to put our nose
right, right. You know? Well, the one thing I couldn't wrap my head around was a comment she made about how long it took Metro RTA to purchase the land, something like either 7 or 9 years or something like that.
Yeah, it was incredibly long.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but be that as it may, because we still haven't, we've never gotten answers to some, we thought, valid questions that neither Valerie nor Don Dissler could answer. We have reached out to the FTA. We've actually gotten a person who has actually responded to us. And what we've suggested, and we were very above board. We let Metro RTA know that we were doing this. So we're like, hey, we're not trying to hide anything, but we want answers to these questions. So what we're trying to arrange is a meeting with FTA, Metro RTA, and Rails to Trails. Get the Rails to Trails people involved, because they are aware of some things that they have stated before, that those two right of ways, both the Freedom Trail and the Veterans Trail, were rail banked. Mm-hmm. So we can get everybody together on a Zoom call and mm-hmm. have a discussion. You know, maybe we can see where this thing is going to go.
Yeah.
But your other comment about First Energy, I've actually got Kirk Gardner on my hit list of people to call tomorrow morning. So
very good. Very good.
Right. That's all from us.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, does anybody else have any comments or questions for the record? All right. Well, really, I mean, thank you all for taking your time, especially, I know the rain's about to hit here, but, you know, it was a beautiful day today. So I hope everybody got a little bit of vitamin D from the sun and enjoyed it a little bit. So, but definitely appreciate you all taking the time to be on here today. And like I said, our next meeting is scheduled in March, and we'll look forward to seeing you all then.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Bye. Good night.
Take care.
Good night, everyone.